researcher. You have a PhD. You have I don't know how many degrees you have. You are, by the way, Rob, the only person I have ever met who's been attacked by monkeys. And I think that puts you in a whole different category in my friend group. So, Rob, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Kim. What a nice, that's my favorite introduction I've had. I love it.
She's one of the best introduction people ever. She's the best introduction person I've ever met in my life. And honestly, it's good introductions. Because when people just read a bio, it's so boring. Kim, you're amazing at that. But go ahead with your first question. That's great.
Well, Rob, you are from Michigan. I'm from Michigan, I'm Grand Rapids area. So fellow Michigander. And you grew up with snakes running, slithering around your house and ending up under pillows and whatever happened in your house. I don't know, crazy stuff. But it's led you, everything that you've done is led you to this Taste the Flavor of Life series that I think is so interesting that you even thought about doing this. How did you even come up with thinking maybe animals like flavors like we do and all the stuff that went into it?
Yeah, that's a great question. So my wife's Monica Sanchez, an anthropologist, and she and I wrote this book, Delicious, that sort of was the template for thinking about the series. And what we would find is we'd often be with biologists and anthropologists, and during the day they'd talk about their, you know, the snakes or the people or whatever. But if you got together for beers or food at night, everybody would talk about food and pleasure and taste. And so there was this weird disconnect between what people were doing during the day and what they wanted to talk about. And so this series allowed us to really dig into what people wanted to talk about, which is that pleasure. And why do we like certain things? Why do we not like other ones? You know, going back to the attack monkeys, what do monkeys like and why? What is your cat like and why? And how does that all come together? And I got to say, it's like one of the most fun projects I've ever worked on, because a huge part of it is just going around the world eating delicious things, which is, if you have the chance, I recommend it.
Now, are you a picky eater or are you open to eating anything?
I grew up as a picky eater. I'm now open to eating pretty much everything.
Really? I'm still a picky eater, but I ultimately, if I don't know it's a vegetable, I'm good. But if it tastes good, I'm good. And I guess that whole goes back into the whole thing about taste, right? How important taste is, right? To enjoy something.
Go ahead. Sorry.
To enjoy something, it has to taste good. If it doesn't taste good, what the heck? Why do we eat it?
Yeah, it has to taste good. And you know, we're sort of in this weird disconnect between having really ancient bodies. Like, our bodies are based pretty much the same as they were a million years ago. But our world has changed. And so taste is this way that we sort of connect between this very different world and our ancient bodies. And our tongues guide us into lots of things we do. And so if you think about what you ate today, you know, was it sweet? Was it bitter? Did it have a little bit of umami? What was the feel of the food or drink? You know, all of those are ways that taste is guiding those decisions. I mean, what'd you eat this morning, Neil?
Oh, I had two egg types of things. It's really nice with bacon, but all gluten-free. I'm anything, like, there's some breading, but it was gluten-free. I'm totally pretty much a gluten-free diet. So yeah, but yeah, it was so awesome.
When you're eating that, you have these umami taste receptors that are going nuts on the savoriness of that food. There's a little bit of sweetness there. There's plenty of saltiness. And those are the same taste receptors our ancestors had when they lived in trees. But now you're redirecting them toward that egg and bacon breakfast. And so, you know, thinking about how that happens and the role smell plays and weird things that chefs say, like mouthfeel. That's really the currency of this series.
Well, it's so interesting because when you studied animals and their sense of taste and how, like, animals even like things cooked more than they like them raw, and some of the ways that we eat that they want to eat and some of the things that they eat with that we use. And it's so interesting to me when you're talking about animals, I just always thought, well, they just always eat the same thing. Like, I feed my dog food, right? But to see the monkeys actually going after honey that's deep in the ground that can take them forever to get, but they have to get it, and going toward things that they find tastier, that's pretty eye-opening. that probably changes everything when it comes to taste, to know that it goes back. It's not just us.
For me, it does. Like if you sit on a back porch and you're watching what crows eat or what your dog eats, like knowing that that what they're choosing is a function of taste and flavor, I think for me just changes how I think about them. You know, that when the crow is choosing what to eat, that is choosing the more pleasurable thing. And to know, like even with chimps, as you mentioned earlier, that chimps will sometimes spend a year trying to get to a beehive to get the honey. And it's not rational. It's not exactly what they need, but they know it's going to be pleasurable. And so there's something about that to me that's so, it's so much unites them with us. Like I feel much more a part of the rest of the living world and knowing that I'm surrounded by other species looking for delicious stuff.
All right. So Rob, Kim has a final question and then we'll find out where we can watch this. And I think already Kim was already catching up on all these different things, researching you. Kim's the greatest research, but go ahead with your question, Kim.
Yeah. Well, I love what you're doing and I'm excited to watch the entire thing. And it's going to be so successful, Rob. I just know that it is. I'm going to tell everybody in the world about it because it's so good. So I lived a year dedicated to not getting attacked by monkeys. I lived a year dedicated to figuring out the true meaning of love. And so I found out things that just blew my mind. And so I'm always curious, like, where does love play a role in your work and in your daily life?
Yeah, that's a good question. So in my daily life, it plays all kinds of roles, right? It's a defining feature of my relationships with humans. But I would say if I connect it to the research, one of the places it ties in is that, you know, many of our interactions are guided by our senses in ways that we don't pay much attention to. And so touch, certainly we're aware of touch, but touch is quite complex. Taste, you know, what is it to kiss another human? That is a molecular interaction of some nature. And then smell is super important to how we interact with other humans. And it's not taste per se, but it's part of that portfolio of senses we don't register too much. And both smell and taste, a lot of what they do in our brain, we're not conscious of. And so if we connect to that question about love, you know, anytime you interact with another human, another being, there is a subconscious set of signals being sent in your brain that are part of that story.
Oh, I love that explanation. He is the another Bill Nye, the science guy. Kim, like you talked about better. Okay, so Rob, best place we can connect and watch the show. Where can people check it out?
I'm curiosity. You can watch the series and please enjoy it, and then check out Delicious, the book that set the stage for it.
All right. Well, congratulations. Thanks, Rob. Thanks for stopping by, man.
Thanks so much. What a pleasure.
All right. You're watching the special simulcast, the Neil Haley Show, and the Love Is Podcast, guys. Take care.